We're in our series called Discover Your Mission. We're looking at what we call the BLESS method. We're going to talk about listening today. How many of you today think you're a great listener? Put up your hand. See, the fact that you didn't even respond tells me you don't listen. We're going to talk about listening today because that's one of the things that we need to be doing is we discover our mission and becoming a part of Jesus' mission to reach people who do not know the grace of God in Jesus and restoring the world to be more like it. You know, when it talks about how do we deal with poverty and hunger and loneliness, helplessness, and addiction. And we want to get as many people as possible to join in Jesus' mission of reaching and restoring and more people joining the missions to what we call reproducing. Reproducing the mission in the lives of other people so that on this mission too, we want to see ourselves as sent people released into Jesus' mission. And so we've been learning to live out five missional practices, five practical ways to go about the Jesus mission based on the acronym BLESS. We're called by God to just not be receivers of his blessing, but to be dispensers of his blessing to the whole world. Last week we talked about B, and you know what BLESS stands for, B in that, what was it? Begin with prayer. And the first missional practice to begin with is each day a prayer that asks God, how do you want to bless the world through me? And then keep that prayer on their mind as we interact with people in the places that we live and work, our coworkers, our friends that we know from school, our neighbors, the barista over here at Starbucks. We want, with God's direction, to know how to bless the world. And so the very beginning, B, starts with prayer. Now that's the B. Let's go on to the L, which stands for listen with care. To bless the world, to bless the people God brings into our ways, we need to get good at listening. The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House when he was president, and he complained that no one paid any attention to what he said. And one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. Each person who passed by in the line, he shook their hands and murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guest responded with phrases like, "Marvelous, keep up the good work. We are proud of you. God bless you, sir." It wasn't till the end of the line while greeting the ambassador of Bolivia that his words were heard. Nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered very quietly to the president, "I'm sure she had it coming." Here's the problem with listening. In your notes, we assume that we're good listeners. Even as I was preparing this message, I was reflecting on how good I think I am at listening, just like how good I think I'm a great driver, too. For me, this has been amplified since I got hearing aids, and one trait that I picked up from my father, who was deaf all of my life, was that when he didn't understand something, he would just simply smile at you and nod his head. Like, okay, I heard you. Not having a clue what was said. So it's not that I didn't listen, it's that I couldn't hear. And anybody that was at any of the town hall meetings that I conducted over this last year recognizes that this man is deaf. There's no question about it. The second thing is you typically are consumed with yourself. Have you ever noticed talking with someone and you know how they're looking around while they're talking to you, that they're looking to people beyond you? Many times they're so consumed with the thoughts in our own minds that we can't hear what other people are saying. And what happens is that we're missing out on blessing others as a result of that. And the whole point of this message today is this. We don't understand the impact listening to others can have. Last week we discussed beginning with prayer, listening to God. Today we extend that to following God's leading and listening to people that he brings into our lives. Someone has said, and I believe it's in your notes, everybody has a story, But few people will listen to that story. If you and I want to be a blesser, then we have the need to take the time to listen to others and to hear how God is drawing them to himself. And so I want to share with you really quickly that there are five levels of listening. And as a certified coach, I understand the value of listening and have participated in many listening exercises. One that's really fun is to have people in groups of three. One's the talker, one's the listener, and one's the observer. And after 3 minutes, the listener gets to reverb back to the talker what he heard. And then after those minutes are gone, then the observer says, "This is what I observed." And then you take turns going around. If you think you're a good listener, you want to try that exercise. So let me just quickly go through some of the levels. You've got a little bit of a graphic there. The first level is interrupting. Not only is it not listening, but not even allowing the person to finish. I think we should arrange a staff meeting about that. And yes, but you know there's going to be a rail strike tomorrow. I mean, just totally, totally changing the topic. Have you ever felt that somebody was simply waiting for your lips to stop moving so they could say their piece? That would be level one listening. The second level is hijacking, stealing the agenda by telling the speaker what happened when you had a similar experience. You know, like somebody saying, "I'm having some difficulty being heard in meetings." And the person responding by saying, "I find that too. Last month, I." Just totally taking it over. Do you know anyone that does this? Have you ever done it yourself? The third one is advising. Giving advice can be valuable, but not until you explore the issue and encourage people to come up with their own solutions. On the whole, people do not like to follow advice. And one of the causes of this is that a perfectly reasonable solution for you may not suit somebody else's values or learning or performance style. The fourth level is attentive listening, listening to what the speaker is saying and inviting more, and allowing the speaker time to think and to show you are listening by looking at the speaker, being very intently focused there. "I'm not sure how to restructure my department. Would you like to tell me more about that?" Help them understand. What a luxury it is when someone simply asks to hear more, and how rarely does that happen, both at home and at work. And then the last one is active listening. That's listening behind the words and between the words. If you and I are going to be disciples of Jesus, then we need to sharpen our listening ears, because Jesus was a great listener. Today I want to talk about four people and how they listened. So let's go. We got time to motor through this. You okay this morning? Listen, lean to your next door neighbor and say, "You're going to learn something." Now turn back to them and say, "But you need to listen better." So let's look at Jesus, the listener. Let's pause for a second. We're going to get to a story in Luke chapter 18. But I don't want you to miss something. Jesus wasn't looking to heal somebody this particular day. And on his way to the city of Jericho, which was one of the last stops on the way to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover feast, many people were on their way to Jerusalem on the same road that Jesus was on. So Jericho was an extra bustling place that time of year. Picture just hordes of people, like people at the Calgary Stampede or any other event, just totally packed. And amidst all these people, there's this blind guy, and though we can't see him, this is very important. I've noticed this in my own life. When you lose one sense, you get a heightened awareness in another sense. And apparently he heard that Jesus was passing by. So the blind man cries out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me." And despite the din of the crowd, Jesus hears this one guy. I can just picture Jesus being able to hear this particular voice like a mother can hear her child in a room full of toddlers. He's hearing one man crying out to him, and he's passing along the road, and the people traveling with Jesus just tell him, just leave Jesus alone. He's busy. But he doesn't. In fact, if you read the events, he gets even louder. Look what happens in Luke chapter 18, verse 40 and 41. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. And as Jesus came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." Now we know what's coming, right? A blind man who can't see calls out to Jesus, and Jesus heals him, and that's the end. But before we go too fast through that, I want you to notice the question that Jesus asked the blind man. "What do you want me to do for you?" Kind of seems like a silly question, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus, can't you just see he's blind? So why does he ask what he wants the blind man needing? What's he need? What does he want done? In this little dramatic buildup for the ensuing miracle, or is it something else? Well, I want to tell you that I believe this story tells us about Jesus, in addition to the fact that he could heal the blind. Don't miss this. I believe it shows us that Jesus was a person who didn't assume he knew what people needed. So we asked questions. He listened. We all know listening is super important in our closest personal relationship. Everybody here has probably said to someone or had said to them, "You never listen to me." Anybody ever had that said to them? Boy, you guys are just really good this morning. Good listeners. However, Jesus is also demonstrating to us it's extremely important when you listen, when we come to live out Jesus' mission, because Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And though today he isn't going around asking people that question, we need to be listening for what people would say if we asked them that question. Truth is, too often, I think we think people on a mission for Jesus that we're just going around being nice, kind of, you know, doing stuff for people wherever we can. And there's some truth to that. But before that, in most instances, we need to do more listening. Why? In your notes, we need to ask for what other people need. Whenever people come to at the front when we have prayer times, a little extended prayer times, the very thing I'll ask them is, "What do you want? What do you want us to pray for?" Michael Foster tells a story about a missionary group that went to India to serve the poor in a remote village. The group showed up with all kinds of supplies and programs and skilled workers ready to transform the village into a place of health and vitality. And they went to the people living into what was a slum and said, "We can build you a medical clinic. We can take care of the hurting and the sick. We can build you a school and provide education so the next generation can work their way out of poverty. And we can build a church so that you can gather on the weekends and learn about God. So what do you want us to do for you?" Sounds like a lot like the question that Jesus asked. And guess what the people in the village said? "We need a mailbox." You know, like their own official zip code. The missionary said, "A mailbox? We can give you a school or a church building, and all you want is your own mailbox?" And the people said, "Yes. That's what we really need most, is a mailbox." You see, in India, if you live in a slum, you typically don't have a zip code or a mailbox, which means you're not represented on the map. Even if it's a community of 10 or 20,000 people, if you don't have a zip code, you're not recognized as existing for anything, including social services from the government. The people didn't initially want a school or a medical clinic or a church. They wanted to be put on the map. They wanted to have an identity. They wanted to become recognized as a part of their own country. And the missionaries would have not known that unless they had listened. And it was no small task. For For it took the missionaries 2 years to work through the bureaucracy to get this village registered. But once they did, the village began to change. When we assume we know what others need before we ask, well, that's just being arrogant. If Jesus didn't assume, then why should we likewise? If you want to bless your neighbors and your friends, we need to model what Jesus did, and Jesus listened. Now let's look at the apostle Philip, the listener. Remember from our last sermon that when we began about prayer, discipleship making is something we do in partnership with the Holy Spirit, who is already drawing people to himself. An angel of the Lord told Philip to go south to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And even though the command was an odd one, Philip's ears are open and attentive to God's call, and he's obedient to the voice of God. And when he gets there, he saw the chariot, verse 29, and heard the Spirit go to the chariot and stand near it. You see, the Holy Spirit was already having a conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch that was in that chariot. And the Spirit called Philip to lead him to Jesus that day. As Pastor and Professor Darren Johnson said, the Holy Spirit is having a conversation with every person in this world. Evangelism is when we are invited into that conversation either by the person or by the Holy Spirit. Great quote. This invitation takes the pressure off of us. We are joining God in God's work. We're not trying to convince someone by our skill or by persuasion. Now, Philip runs over to the chariot. Did he jump immediately into his a little bit of an evangelistic agenda? No, he listened to what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. Look what it says in Acts chapter 8 in this slide in your notes. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." And Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked this question: "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sat with him. He didn't interrupt him with a prepared speech. He listened and then responded, asking, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The Ethiopian, hungry for answers, invites Philip to come in and sit with him. This week, when someone tells you something, I want to invite you to listen with care. It has the power to make a tremendous difference. In Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, In Life Together, he said this: "Many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find among Christians because these Christians are talking where they should be listening. But he who can no longer listen to his brother will no longer be listening to God either." Ouch. He will be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God too. That spoke to me deeply. When you are led by the Spirit to walk beside people like Philip, in your notes, pay attention to their inquiries. Be observant and listen deeply to what the person is not saying, which is just as important. David Augsburger said this: you need to circle this or highlight this. This is an incredible statement. Being heard is so close to being loved that the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Loving somebody and listening to them is on the same level. If we want to love like Jesus, we need to listen. To demonstrate the importance of listening, if you want to be a blessing to others, not only do you need to love like Jesus, but you need to listen like Jesus. Now let's look at Paul, the listener. Lastly, we often think about the Apostle Paul as a great debater, and he was. But he also practiced listening and being attentive to the situation around him. He illustrates this to us. Not only do we need to listen to people around us, but also to the places around us. The people of Athens were consumed with new ideas like Canadians consume poutine. In the ancient world, Athens was a capital city of philosophy. It was a place where people took pride in their rich heritage of their knowledge. Luke, the doctor and historian, describes the flavor of Athens with a funny statement in Acts chapter 17, verse 21. It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seemed to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. Sound like today? Even for Paul, getting through to the people in Athens was no small task, but his approach gives us insight into how we can be a blessing to the place around us, where we work, our neighborhoods, and our communities, and our towns. Paul began to take time to listen. He wanted to understand the people better and the place of the people he was trying to reach. So he walked throughout the city, carefully observing the culture. In your notes, Acts chapter 17, look what it says. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For I was walking along and I saw many shrines. And if you are ever over in that part of the country and hear the story about those were all over the place. And one of the pillars had the inscription on it, to an unknown God. Let me stop and just say, why did they do that? Because they wanted to make sure they didn't miss one. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm going to tell you about. The Athenians wanted more and more knowledge, so Paul used the fact that they worshiped a God that they did not know to tell them about the God they could know. So how does that apply to us? In your notes, promote curiosity. A pastor who was just recently starting a church in his city, one of the ways he listened to the area he lives in was showing up at things happening in the community, like a neighborhood block club meeting. He listened and learned that there was a need to do a better job caring for the seniors in that community. It made him start dreaming about building volunteer teams to do senior wellness checks during severe weather. At Chamber of Commerce meetings, he learned that the businesses that sponsored and participated in the festivals in their neighborhood were having a hard time finding volunteers to work the festivals. Maybe this church could do that, supply the volunteers. At forums hosted by the city aldermen, he learned that the number one reasons people move out of the neighborhood is the quality or lack thereof of high schools. And he got to thinking about how God could use his church to come alongside these schools and make them better. What a great approach. Here's a great verse for you. Bill Nye, the science guy, said, anyone you will ever meet knows something that you don't. Be curious about people, about places. And lastly, I want to give you a tool in your toolbox to help you start a conversation so that you can become a better listener. And by the way, I have such a long way to go in listening with care. I'm a student here. I'm not telling you something that I've mastered. I'm telling you something that I work on all the time. It's even more difficult when you can't hear. We consider Jesus, Philip, Paul. And now I'm going to consider you the listener. What are some practical ways that you can initiate a listening, a blessing conversation? Well, there's four H's that I want to give you. The first one is history. Remember, whenever everyone has a story to tell. So say, tell me what your story is. Where did you grow up? When did you move to Saskatchewan? When did you move to Saskatoon? Then you ask about the heart. It's a great way to connect with someone is find common ground. What's your favorite team? Your favorite restaurant? Your favorite vacation destination? Your favorite color of tractor? Is it green or is it red? And then don't judge. Habits is the third one. Most everyone has a project. What are you into? Do you like hockey? Do you like watching hockey? Do you like watching sports? Do you like playing sports? If you're a woodworker, are you good with your hands? What do you do with your free time? It's a great question to ask to help you understand what their habits are. And then the last one is hurts. Especially when you hear that they've had a difficult time. How are you doing in this situation? You name the situation, then you listen. When you come alongside people who are hurting, the greatest ministry that you can have, and every one of us can do it here, every one of us without exception, can have a ministry of presence, sitting beside them, just listening when they want to talk, just being there, loving like Jesus. Listen what Dave Ferguson said again. When the people in our lives feel unheard and unknown, it ultimately leaves them feeling unloved. When you take time to listen, people feel known, and when people feel known, they feel loved and blessed. In his book, Jesus is the Question, Martin Copenhagen said that Jesus asked 307 questions in the Gospels. He only answered three of them. The rest of the time, he listened. Clearly, a part of Jesus' way of loving the people around him was to ask good questions and then listen. Can I challenge you this morning? Let's do the same this week. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you gave us one mouth and two ears. And today we heard the impact that we can have by listening with care. And help us to listen with connection, not to correct. May we ask what people need, like Jesus did, not assuming what we know, but what we know after we've heard their story. And may we pay attention to what is being said and respond like Philip did when he listened to the Spirit lead him and responded to the need of the Ethiopian eunuch. And as we seek to bless others by listening with care, may you use us to bring people who are far from you closer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.